Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined by the official second banana of this show and others. That's not, I don't know if that's really true, but he's the world's second banana.
Oh.
He's the host of the just returned gaming show about games called Gaming Game. It is Evan Munro Smith.
Hey, good to be here.
And people can find you at gaminggame.com.
Gamygame.com.
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 I don't know what that is, but I'll put a link in the show notes. Ben Russell and Naomi Higgins are back.
Yep.
Did you have anyone else on?
No, it was just the two of us. A bit of a special episode
that's
for...
That's three of you.
Oh, it is. Sorry, it's three.
Which one of them were you not counting? Or were you not counting
me,
yourself?
It was me, yeah.
Just the two of us. You know, Ben and Naomi, the two of us.
Yeah.
Okay, Evan.
Yeah, it was a special episode for the new consoles. We got the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. They go head to head.
About time.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a good app.
Is there a new Action Vision?
Action Vision?
Is that one of the consoles?
No.
No.
Activision.
Activision?
Is a publisher.
Activision. Any new from Activision?
There's a new Call of Duty.
Yeah?
They published that. Yeah.
What about EA Sports? Have they got anything out?
Oh, probably. I don't follow EA Sports much, but there is a new NFL game, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Madden? It's probably Madden.
Maybe.
I
don't know. There's sports games.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into.
Yeah, yeah. Microsoft Golf. I used to play it a lot. Looks like you hit a tree, Jim. That's on the short stuff. That sort of stuff. Good fun.
Not a lot of golf games recently.
No, yeah. I said no like I knew that. That's interesting.
You would have heard about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the wires. I follow a lot of golf gaming blogs. And
yep.
They've all been quiet lately.
Surprise, surprise.
Tiger Woods would have made one at some point.
Sorry, bumping the...
Wait, stop kicking your big bass drum. Drumming practices until after the podcast. All right, so we are talking, we go through primates and popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. At the moment, we're stuck on Pogo and also Luther, the ape man from Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
They're currently in the 60s and things are getting hectic. This episode was a stressful watch.
Yeah. Stressful.
On purpose. They had a ticking clock.
Yep.
And everyone was making slightly annoying decisions that I don't know if they necessarily would. But
yeah.
I guess they're under pressure, but you're not used to seeing that or something in this show?
Yeah, well, yeah, which is interesting because, I mean, all through the whole show, there's been an impending deadline because they've been working towards an apocalypse that they know is coming on a certain day, but it's days away. Like, it's been kind of a relaxed deadline, I guess, hasn't it? I mean, they've made very little progress towards actually getting done what they need to get done.
The assignment's due in a week. I'll get to it then. Tonight I'm going to the pub.
Yeah. But yeah, they haven't had a ticking clock throughout Which would have made it a bit more tense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But this episode, they're given a much tighter deadline. So the episode's called Ogre for Ogre. Five says it well in this episode.
Well, he seemingly says it well.
I was convinced.
But I was also convinced last week when the handler spoke in Swedish, and apparently that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So.
Ogre for Ogre. I think it's like that. Ogre for Ogre for Ogre.
That was a fun scene. Luther has definitely become the funny guy. He's the comic relief guy. He's calling up Ogre for Ogre.
Yeah, yeah.
Assuming that in his logic, get to this, but he's assuming she's killed that guy. I love this show, but I don't remember anyone's names.
Ah, Elliot.
Elliot.
Yeah. Elliot, there's a lot of names.
Elliot dies and Ogre for Ogre is written in blood. And Luther assumes the name is Ogre for Ogre, and Ogre is the one who killed him and then wrote a name.
Well, Luther doesn't necessarily make that connection, but Diego does.
Right.
Because Diego jumps on the call and he's like, you're going to die. We're going to...
It's a real strange conclusion to jump to. Bit of a logic leap. Anyway, we've just leapt into halfway through the episode. We should start at the beginning. The synopsis is, after Five travels to 1982 to carry out his new mission, the siblings face a flurry of difficult decisions. Meanwhile, Carl issues a warning to Vanya.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, like all the synopsis, a lot happens. And a lot more than that happens. So we kick off with Five in 1982. They don't, like they have in other, well, mainly in the 60s, they really 60s it up. But in the 80s, they didn't go for that.
Yeah.
Could have been any, it could have been current time, basically.
Yeah, definitely it could have been.
Apart from the vending machine, they look like some old products in there. But everything else was, you know, uniforms and traditional, kind of look like, I don't know, traditional European clothes of some
description. Yeah, well, so he gets to this, what looks like a, what is it, like a convention center or something maybe? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
And the as he walks in, the Wisconsin Polka Association at Edmonton. Right. So that explains, I guess, the...
Where's polka from? Is polka Polish? Is that what polka is?
I don't know. I should know as a Weird Al fan.
Yeah.
I should know more about polka.
I watched The Polka King not too long ago, sometime this year, with Jack Black, about Jan, a guy called The Polka King.
Yeah, right.
And I also don't know. Let me look it up. Polka origin. Oh, and polka dots.
Oh, yeah. Are they the same?
Polka originated as a Czech peasant dance. Historic folklore has it that a peasant girl named Anna Slezak invented the steps one day for her own amusement. The polka dance was first introduced to Prague ballrooms in 1835 and to Paris ballrooms in 1840.
Yeah, right. Okay. Prague.
Prague. Prague in the Czech Republic.
That name sounded like it could have been Polish, but I guess it could have been Czech as well.
Yeah, well, Poland and Czech Republic aren't too far away from each other. I'd say they're actually quite close.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. My geography is no good. So why were we talking about this?
They're at the Missouri Polka Dot.
Wisconsin
Polka Dot.
Polka Association. I don't know. That just seems like a side thing. But anyway, Five. So I last week was like, how's he going to get to 1982? They skip over that. I guess the handler took care of that for him.
Yeah.
She has that power. I guess is on behalf of the commission can do that sort of thing, even if it is for shady purposes.
Well, we hear later how she has another time jump ready for him. And that has a time limit on it. So she obviously still has some control of this, but she said it's got a limit.
Yeah.
And that's so no one becomes aware of what you're up to.
Yeah, right, okay.
But, yeah, it feels like going to this top secret spot would have rung some alarm bell somewhere.
Yeah. Five walks into this place and he says he's looking for the Midwest Soybean Society, which is seemingly the cover for this secret commission board of directors meeting. So from last week, remember his goal here is to basically this is the board of directors meeting. He's got to kill all the board of directors. This is the time to do it. This is the one time they're all together in the one spot. the handler somehow found out the his top secret time and location. And there he is, the Midwest Soybean Society, they're pretending they are. Which is, you know, that's it's definitely under the radar. I don't think I'd ever suspect that. I do wonder how they got in, though, because he walks in and there is the fish man, fish bowl head man, which would have drawn some eyes, I would have thought.
Yes. Wait, unless they just zapped their way straight into that room.
Oh, I guess they probably could.
Yeah. But then, yeah, I don't know. It just, it all seems very strange. No security there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he says call security. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't security, why wouldn't they, these are like, it's the most important board supposedly in the world.
Yeah.
But I guess they think they're so secure and secluded in time and space that no one would find them.
They're getting cocky.
Poland and Czech Republic border each other. I was just double checking that I hadn't said something foolish, because that, those sort of things will get people annoyed and yelling at their iPods on which they're listening to us on.
Before he goes into the meeting, though, he goes to a vending machine and he wants to buy a fudge nutter.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, this was the first thing where I'm like, this is not how he would be behaving.
Hmm.
He's got a job to kill 12 people in the next room, and he's cracking it over a nut bar not coming out.
Yeah, because it gets stuck in the machine and he cracks it. I thought maybe he was, you know, taking out something on the vending machine. But it didn't really seem like he had any problem with what he was doing.
No. Yeah, once he got in there, he almost relished it. But he did say afterwards, he said, that's the last time I kill.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, I don't know. It read a bit strange to me. But I guess maybe that's just them playing the stress of the situation a bit subtly. It wasn't really spelt out. But I'm just like, whoa, talk about making a fucking scene. Surely if you're there to assassinate people, you'd be keeping it pretty low key.
Yeah.
And, but right out in the middle of the whole building, you're kicking in the glass of a vending machine.
Yeah. And that almost was the end of him. So, he goes in there with an axe. He really makes short work of the board of directors. He's pretty efficient at killing all these people.
Because he can do that space jump thing. It makes it a lot easier.
He sort of he space jumps while swinging an axe and can really do some damage there.
He was an assassin for them for quite a while, I guess, for decades. So he had a lot of practice. But, yeah, it is interesting that he they didn't even bother fighting or even – a lot of them didn't really get up.
Yeah, well, they were kind of – I mean, it all happened very quickly, obviously, but none of them seemed armed or, you know, had any defense, really.
Yeah, because they employ people like Cha-Cha and Hazel, who are, like, indestructible almost.
Yeah, just put Hazel out – maybe not Hazel, but, you know, put Cha-Cha out there.
She's been evaporated.
Oh, that's right. Yes, okay. But, you know, someone
like
them,
her.
Yeah, the Swedes.
Yeah, they seem a little too
the
nutty.
Remaining – okay, yeah.
But there's got to be someone.
There's got to be, yes.
So, yeah, he goes through and he takes them all out, including the fish man, AJ, the head of the whole operation, smashes the fishbowl head.
Yep.
And we see the CGI fish flipping and flopping around. I assumed he was going to kill him, but he didn't. He delivered him alive to Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
I'm going to say Chelsea Grammar.
That would be
the only thing that could make the show any better. Would be to get Frasier involved.
Yes, Kelsey Grammer. He's got a new show.
Kelsey Grammer. I thought that didn't sound quite right. He's got a new show.
Yeah, a new show announced. I don't know what it is.
Sound promising?
I'll check it out.
All right.
I mean, his other shows haven't been great recently, but
It's Simpsons and the two Frasier shows were pretty good.
The two Frasier shows? Oh, Cheers. Right. Well, that wasn't really a Frasier show.
Well, it was a show with Frasier on it.
All right.
How was that not a Frasier show?
Well, see, he was a you know, a minor character, or, you know, like a side. I've never watched Cheers. Why is Five? He's never changed out of his school uniform.
I don't understand why. They must have explained it at some point, but
he just seems to like it, I guess.
Maybe he's sort of like one of the rich tech guys who just want to make their days efficient, so they get up and they don't have to.
I think that was a Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
With the same thing every day, it means you it's one less decision in your day. Wake up, put on your same clothes.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Zuckerberg does that as well. But that's a sensible thing, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what you're wearing. Like if you, you know.
If it's not your passion. For me, it's a passion.
Yeah.
Right. Fashion is a passion. Fashion, as I like to call it. Today I'm in a, you know, quite an impressive, I would say, ensemble.
Yes.
I wish the listeners could see. Because it took quite a lot of doing, and it was, yeah, multiple decisions.
Speaking of which, we do see the handler at one point wearing a pretty bold outfit, like this purple sort of suit.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't go the Steve Jobs way.
No. And she just does it. Maybe she's making the decision to just wear that every day. She's got 100 of them.
But we've seen that that's not the case.
No, maybe from this point.
Oh, from this point on.
Well, all right.
She's drawn a line in the sand.
Yeah. So we jump back to the 60s, which is essentially the present day for this show. We see Klaus, he's wanting to stay awake to prevent Ben from taking control of his body. So we've seen up until this point that Ben's tried a couple of times to basically possess Klaus. He's been able to for very short periods.
Klaus rejects Ben out of his body.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we realize that until now. Now it seems like Ben needs permission a little bit.
Yes. Or is at least asking for it.
Well, no, he's not asking for it because he's waiting for him to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So it seems like if Klaus is awake, he has the ability to stop him being, what do you call it when a ghost takes over a body?
Possessed.
Possess him, yeah.
So Ben wants to do this, I guess, to try it out, but also because he wants to talk to Jill, the girl that he's had a crush on for a little while through their travels.
Since the bus.
Since the bus.
In episode 2 or 1.
Yeah. Klaus, he puts up a bit of a fight here, but he eventually caves and decides to let him take over his body. But he's going to lay out some ground rules.
Yeah, ground rules like, don't look at my dick, I'm shy, and I'm lactose intolerant, so don't drink milk.
Yeah.
And he said, don't play with my dick. And then he said, oh, maybe you can play with my dick. It's a bit of a strange bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think Ben cares about looking at your dick, man. And then as soon as he got in his body, he looked at his dick.
Yeah. Or at least went for it. I don't know if he actually... Anyway. But I also... look, that's probably not worth getting into, right?
What? Why a brother would want to look at his brother's dick?
I keep forgetting that they're brothers. They're not really brothers. But I also wonder, he's a ghost. He's had... surely plenty of opportunities.
Yeah. If you're adopted from birth or at any point, you don't think of adopted kids to be real siblings?
No, I do. I just didn't... I keep forgetting that they're kind of siblings.
I guess because they were brought up more like they're in a boarding school than in a family, maybe that's why they seem to each other like less like they're siblings and more like they're old... They're almost like they're old friends.
Yeah.
And not that close friends in a lot of cases.
Also, you've got like Luther and Allison who obviously have a bit of a fling and stuff. So anyway, we jump to Sissy and Carl's place. So remember the end of last episode, Carl had in the bushes, nice and creepy like.
Right. I'd forgotten about that. I'm like, I wonder how he cottoned on. But yeah, because he saw directly.
He saw him. He saw Vanya and Sissy kissing in the car. This is breakfast. I assumed it was breakfast.
Looks like breakfast. Important detail.
Well, it was a meal anyway. They're having a meal. I'm
confident that it was some sort of meal.
Yes.
I'm willing to put my name on the line for that. They were sitting down for a meal.
I guess.
I think.
You don't see them eating though.
No, that's true. It was a table though, chairs. Yeah. They were sitting at a table.
I thought originally it was dinner, and then I looked at the lighting in the room, and I thought, no, that looks like morning light. That looks like it's breakfast. But then Sissy offered Carl a beer, and I thought, is that?
Morning too, beer.
Is it? Anyway, I don't. So I wasn't quite sure. Maybe it's lunch.
Bloody midday somewhere.
could be lunch. I don't know. It probably not important. It's breakfast. I'm pretty sure it's breakfast.
Maybe it's brunch.
Could be brunch. Anyway, so Carl's acting a bit weird.
Yeah.
Obviously, he knows, and they don't know that he knows. But it's still a sort of a bit tense, this conversation. Sissy's saying she wants to take Vanya with her to Harlan. Harlan's going, their son, Harlan, is going for a checkup or something, I think. And Sissy's like, oh, I'll take Vanya along, and Harlan likes Vanya. That'll be great. And then Carl's like, no, actually, I need Vanya to come with me to go for a drive to visit like a friend or like a client or something. So it's like a lead for the business or whatever. But he's like, I need to come with me today, basically to ride along so that she can then drive the car home. And it's just a bit of a tense moment.
Yeah, it's clear that he's like, no, I need her to come with me.
Yeah.
So I guess we know more than anyone. And it's a weird sort of power move he's doing.
Yeah. And then Sissy's like, no, well, Harlan likes spending time with Vanya. And I was like, no, she's going to come with me. But then Vanya sort of breaks the tension. She's like, no, I'll go with Carl. It's fine. It'll be all right. We see Ray Chestnut is in a good mood. So he's got a meeting with the Attorney General's office, I think, something anyway. And it's a sign that the work they're doing is paying off. So he's getting ready to go to whatever that meeting is. Allison's telling Allison about it. I've thought that he seems to be acting fairly normally after recently finding out that superpowers exist. They seem to have just gotten over that.
He's jumped right into it.
Quick.
I love the name Chestnut, and I was looking it up before, and it looks like it's probably not a coincidence that a man named J.L. Chestnut Jr. Was an attorney and a figure in the civil rights movement. Uh-huh. He was the first African-American attorney in Selma, Alabama. And I think I'm pretty sure there was a Raymond who was also a civil rights dude somehow.
Yeah, right. So this character could be a bit of a nod to real people, whereas characters are real people in this show.
Yes. Rosa Parks' husband was named Raymond Parks.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm maybe jumping to a conclusion. There's a lot of Raymonds, but there were big figures in the civil rights movement named Raymond and named Chestnut, so...
Well, there you go. And we see the scene where Five has come back after his mission we saw at the start.
Absolutely, covered in blood.
Covered in blood. He's going to need a change of clothes. Is he? I don't know. He meets the handler and hands her AJ, the fish, in a baggie. He says that he's done killing. He killed those 12 people. He did that to save the world. That's the last lot of killing he's going to do. The handler gives him the briefcase, as agreed, to transport them back to 2019 and undo the apocalypses that are coming. But he only has 90 minutes to get the group together.
And he's like, what the hell? You never told me about a time limit.
Yeah, that's a cheeky move on her part.
And that's when she said, hey, well, it needs to have a time limit so that it's undetected. You got to do it quickly. And it's just her making sure they don't dilly-dally, I guess. She wants them out of their timeline.
Yeah, I guess so.
Seems like.
But
she must also know that that's also a difficult thing to be able to do.
Well, I wonder if she's just sort of stitching him up a bit. Like, because he's impossible.
Here's my end of the deal, but I know that you're not actually going to be able to go through with it.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I see.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Because the other thing I was thinking all through this was that Five is kind of, it seems to be, taking her word for it.
Yeah.
And who knows where that briefcase is going to go. Like,
And he didn't really tell anyone about the plan. He didn't say, I had to kill 12 people for this. We need to make it happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Or tell them beforehand, hey, do you think I should kill these 12 people for this deal? Is it worth it?
He's always sort of seen it as, well, since he had that conversation with Sir Reggie last week, he's seen it as, I suppose, he's the only way. Like, this is it kind of thing.
There's another Raymond. George Raymond Jr. was an African-American civil rights activist and the head of the Congress of Racial Equality in Mississippi in the 60s.
Yeah, right.
Not Rachel, like I think I might have said. Rachel.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe that probably sounds even... That's like in the 60s, perhaps. Anyway,
okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting sidetracked on this, but I'm my guess is that the name is a nod to key figures.
We check in with Diego and Luther, so they've just at the end of last episode
We were talking about just before this scene, yeah.
Yeah. So they just recently found Elliot dead, killed by the Swedes, but they don't reach that conclusion themselves. Diego, his first reaction is the feds are responsible. Clearly, the feds tortured him and left his body there.
Luther was like, this is not the feds. If it was the feds, they would have taken him away and done that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll swear.
Diego's a bit of a weird one. He's kind of smart, but also kind of dumb.
Yeah, like, he just, like, too deep into some conspiracy kind of stuff.
But then also, you can't really have a go at him for that because in this world, the conspiracy seem to be real.
Yeah, that's right. So you would slip further into it, wouldn't you?
I guess so. But Luther seems to have his head screwed on and he's like, no, this is obviously some lunatic has done this. And then so they see the message written in blood on the floor, Uga for Uga, but their penmanship with the blood wasn't great. And it does kind of look like two words, Oga for Oga. And they assume that is a name, and they call her up. They find an Oga for Oga in the phone book and give her a call, and they get her. It's an old woman.
I couldn't believe. Yeah, I couldn't quite read what it said. Did it say Oga for Oga in the phone book or O for Oga?
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
I assumed
either,
it was but... O for Oga, and I was thinking, oh, they'll call, and she'd be like, oh no, there's no Oga here. My name is Oliver or something. But they're like, yes. Yes, this is Ogre.
It's pretty amazing.
what are the odds?
Anyway, they call her up, and while they're on the phone, so Diego grabs the phone and starts threatening her, says, you're going to die sort of thing. And then Five pops in, and he sets them straight. He's straight away is like, it's Uga for Ruga, or the better way to pronounce that.
Yeah, he says it's Swedish for an eye for an eye. And then they realize that the Swedes killed Elliot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't get his... I mean, it's for a comedy scene.
Yeah, because so then Diego's just like, wrong number.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm thinking about the logic of it so much, but why would Diego think that they would write their own name in blood after killing someone?
I don't know. It's a calling card.
You're calling
why would they write someone else's name?
To put them off the scent.
Okay.
Especially if they live in, if it's a real person who lives in town, because it did put them off the scent accidentally.
Yeah, you're right. When that wasn't what they were doing at all, they were pointing them straight to themselves.
But yeah, ever since you mentioned it, I mean, I was already finding it funny anyway. But yeah, every scene he has a bit of time. He's got great timing, great comic timing.
Yeah,
the Luther actor.
Yeah, he is good. And then we jump to the commission, where the handler informs the staff at the commission of the news from the board.
There's another funny scene.
They're all dead. And she assumes control of the commission.
Yeah, she says, this pains me to say it, but as everyone's, the board's all dead, I will have to assume control for now. And the guy who was recently promoted above her sort of says under his breath, he's like, she was demoted. Why her?
Yeah.
Which is great logic. But the reason why her is because you're saying that quietly to yourself.
Yeah. You should have said that much louder.
Yeah.
Because this is just because she says so.
Yeah.
It's
just, it's all belief.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, a lot of life, right? Just walk in with confidence.
Alpha dog.
She's such an alpha dog.
Yeah.
She also says there's grief counselling available, but we won't pay for that.
Yeah, it's available. Like, anything's available if you pay for it yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not anything.
Oh. Well, yeah, where are you drawing the line?
Well, I mean, we can't travel through time. It's not everything is merely a matter of cost.
Okay, well, you've got me on a technicality there, but I appreciate you pulling me up. Again, an important point.
So we jump back to Five and Diego and Luther, and Five tells him about the plan. This is where I thought he's, you know, being very trusting of the handler. He doesn't seem to have any skepticism about it. He's just like, we're doing this.
But something she did say in her address to the workers was the briefcase room will be closed briefly as a precaution.
Oh.
So perhaps that's what she's saying, a precaution. She's saying for bad people to have it, but she is actually doing it to stop people finding out that the Umbrella Academy have got one of the briefcases.
Yeah, she's nicked one.
So, yeah, I reckon to this point, you still don't know, but I was just trusting it the whole way for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, she's got what she wants, so it's no skin off her back, I guess. And if
it gets them out of her way, possibly.
Yeah, and they can't go after her really without a briefcase.
And it would be much smarter on her part to keep them happy.
Yeah.
So, because Five can time travel, so he potentially, you don't want him in another timeline, just like quietly being furious and plotting revenge.
Yeah.
Because she's seen that he fucked her stuff up a few times.
But also, like, the briefcase just could be sending them to 500 years ago.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
They all just die.
Yeah, could be sending
or 500 years in the future. Or exactly, like into the sun or something. So yeah, there's a bit of faith there, but ultimately we don't see exactly what's going on. But so the plan is Five's like, all right, we don't have much time. We have to split up to get everyone together. So he sends Diego and Luther off to sends Luther off to get Allison, sends Diego off to get Klaus. Diego here is a bit skeptical about the whole thing.
Yeah, he still wants to save JFK.
Yeah. But he also, before he goes anywhere, he says he wants to say goodbye to Lila as well, which I thought was a bit strange because, like, well, Lila, I mean, he was a bit sus on her, I thought.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, maybe not enough to break things off completely. But Five sort of goes, it sort of tells the truth. You know, has a go at him and is like, no, she's works for the commission and all this sort of stuff.
In a not so subtle way.
Yeah.
Surely that's a, hey, I just got to let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I found out that Lila, he didn't even mention that she's the daughter of the handler.
Yeah, although maybe Diego doesn't know who that is. May not be relevant.
Yeah,
or
right.
It may not have much meaning to him. We see we jump back to Klaus laying out those ground rules to Ben, and Ben jumps in him, wanders around. So this is at the mansion where the cult is, sort of goes around and enjoys touching and smelling and tasting things.
Was it an orange or a mango?
I think it was an orange.
Yeah, I was eating an orange at the same time.
Yeah, right.
I thought it might have been a mango, but he didn't like it, whatever it was.
Well, that's, I think, because it was sour. I thought maybe it was an orange and that it was too sour maybe for him.
Because I'm like, everyone likes oranges.
Oh, yeah, everyone loves an orange. But if you...
But it might be a bit full on for the first thing you've tasted in years.
Yeah, you got to ease up. Ease into an orange maybe.
Yeah.
He sort of walks through a field. He feels the dirt under his feet. Loves the dirt. And Jill comes over to him straight away.
Mm. Well, coming over to Klaus.
Well, yes. Exactly. So he obviously, he's in Klaus's body. But they have a nice conversation. They make dirt angels in the dirt there.
We start saying, I'm like, I found it at first. I'm like, oh, this sucks. He's finally a body, but we don't get to see the actor playing him.
Yeah.
Because he's in someone else's body. But then they do sort of flip between the two.
Yeah.
They show the real Ben. I think they did that pretty well, so you get the idea of both.
Yeah.
Klaus was playing it pretty subtly. I don't think they talk all that different from each other.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen a lot of Ben, really. Like,
he's always, I think they're both very sort of low-key, kind of pretty dry kind of talkers.
Yeah.
Their humor is pretty deadpan, both of them, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can do, not like in the new Jumanji movies, where Jack Black in the first one plays, I think, a schoolgirl, and in the second one he plays bloody Danny DeVito, but no, does he play Danny? No, The Rock plays Danny DeVito. Anyway, it was pretty unconvincing, but you can see they're playing these characters, their game. They're people inside a video game. Oh, this is the kind of stuff you'd understand.
So, well, I haven't seen the new Jumanji films, but...
The Rock's in the video game, and then people go inside him, but The Rock's one of their avatars. Jack Black's one of their avatars.
And so are they doing their own voices, or are they dubbed?
No, they're doing their own voices, but they're doing sort of impersonations of the characters that are playing them.
So hang on, it's The Rock doing an impersonation of Danny DeVito?
But it's no good.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't think he would have that much range.
No, the first one was good because he was doing like, it was just some school kid nerdy guy. So he was just playing The Rock, only like, holy shit, I'm a big tough guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he can do that.
Which he can do, but he can't, like an accent was like, that's not quite working. But, you know, he still pulls it off through charisma, as The Rock, of course, would do.
Yeah. Well, Klaus and Ben have the same accent.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what I mean. It's an easy thing to pull off, but it's also not clear necessarily that he is a different character at that point. You know, there's no obvious tell. They needed him to have a twitch or something.
Well, I mean, Diego comes up later and he's like, Klaus, are you high? Like, he just doesn't...
He can tell he's a bit different.
Not immediately apparent.
Yeah.
we also see around here, we see Vanya riding in the car with Carl. They go to a paddock where there are some cows. Vanya knows something is up anyway, and so she's like, why'd you bring me here? And Carl tells a story about cows being slaughtered due to hoof and mouth disease, saying how the disease spread, clearly sees homosexuality as a disease that's spreading.
It's in his family. He thinks it's a contagious thing.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, right. That's full on. I don't know what I was thinking he was talking about. I just thought he was talking about the disease of cheating on me.
I mean, I mean, that's the way I interpreted it.
Anyway, but also, how far is this going to spread? Other people are going to be cheating on you? Oh, but even like homosexuality, or first sissy, then what's next? Who else are you going to seduce with your lesbian wiles?
Yes.
Or bisexual wiles, I guess, because she was with...
Leonard.
Leonard, another forgettable guy.
What a forgettable name.
When you hear hoof in mouth, I picture a cow putting its hoof in the mouth going, goo.
It's probably what that's... That's
where I would have got the name from.
Yeah, yeah. So
he ends up saying you better go home, pack up. You better be gone by the time I get back. I'm going to go drinking with my friend. You take the car home. Don't be there when I get home.
But the threat he makes is that, we're going to have to send Harlan away. We're going to send Harlan off to a facility or something, right? Unless you leave, it feels like a bit of a weird threat.
Yeah, well, I guess he just knows that he means a lot to Vanya and Sissy.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's an empty threat, he's obviously doesn't care much about his son.
I think they've made that pretty clear.
Yeah, I suppose
this season he doesn't seem to care that much about his son. I mean, he's out every night drinking. He's hardly home at all.
Yeah, no, you're right. Probably was different in the 60s, but my thought also was like, maybe a special facility wouldn't be so bad for someone with special needs.
I think Vanya sort of mentions it later that they don't even really know what it is. He's like, if we take them with us, it's got a name where in 2019.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If
they don't even.
Which
I didn't realize that it was. They were so unaware of back then, but it makes sense that they know more now.
Well, yeah, of course.
But yeah, so I don't know what they were doing back then, but it was. I imagine it's probably all looked after better now than it was then.
Yeah.
You'd hope so.
But
by the same token, you go forward another 50 years, hopefully even better again.
Hopefully. So, but anyway, it's a Vanya.
Or they go back to leeches. Every cure is leeches again. Wow, we're actually onto it in the first place.
Yeah,
leeches.
They had it right the first time. Anyway, the threat works on Vanya anyway. She's obviously doesn't want that to happen. Luther, we jump in with him. He arrives at Allison's place to pick her up. And Allison's pretty sort of, she's sort of wrestling with this idea of abandoning her life in the 60s. Like suddenly it's like, oh, you can go back, but you have to make the decision now. Mm. And you have to leave your husband, but you could see your daughter again.
But I can't promise that.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know. Yeah, it was
really
interesting.
Know where we're going. Yeah.
In my head, I'm starting to like dive into different scenarios where, maybe Allison, who when she's elderly, will be catching up with Luther in the next episode. If this time jump does work.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If anyone was left behind and the others went, then maybe. But as we'll say soon, that doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah.
But then if she doesn't go back, and the timeline keeps going through, does their daughter even get born? And if she does, there must be a second Allison in that timeline.
Ooh. Yeah, it definitely gets hairy.
Hmm.
Very, very tricky. But then,
she'd be in that loop, I guess. Then the same Allison goes back and just keeps living that.
Yes. So she's wrestling with that idea. She's in tears about it, or sort of just emotional about it. And then Ray comes in and sees Luther there hugging and stuff, and he's like, "What did you say to her?" then we go back to Klaus or Ben in Klaus's body, having a lovely time with Jill. They're having a nice conversation. She offers to have sex. Of course, she thinks it's Klaus though, and so Ben's sort of trying to explain, "No, I'm not myself. I'm not."
Yeah. So I guess he's thinking like maybe consent stuff. Like, I'm not actually Klaus right now. But then it also turns out he's also a virgin, so he's nervous about that.
Yeah.
Because she's like, "What do you mean you haven't had sex before? What about the three-way we had on the sex swing last week?"
I thought was interesting that Ben didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I guess Ben's not around all the time. He goes off and does his own ghost stuff.
Well, I don't think it wasn't explicitly clear that. Klaus was going around having sex with all his followers until now. I don't think they'd mentioned that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't think they've talked about that. I assumed that maybe it has happened. Anyway, so there's a bit of awkwardness there, and then Diego rocks up to take him away. And as we said, he's like, "Klaus, are you high?" And Ben's like, "No, it's me, it's Ben." He's like, "What?" And
he proves it with a song they used to sing together.
Yeah.
That Klaus wouldn't have known about.
Yeah. And then Diego's convinced that it's Ben. And now you have a nice moment together.
Yeah.
Sort of hug. It's like, there aren't a lot of nice moments in this show, but that was
a nice one. Yeah. I liked how he believed it straight away. It was set up to be another frustrating thing of his own. Anyway, Klaus, shut up and come along.
It's just another one of Klaus's silly games. But before they run off, Ben wants to deal with the cult. He kind of wants to disband the cult rather than just disappear on them. And Diego's like, "Oh, I've got something else I want to do as well." So they're like, "Just meet at the alley in 30 minutes. Don't be late." This all seems like it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And then right at the end of that scene, you sort of see Klaus sort of coming back or fighting back into his body. You're like,
clock's ticking on that.
It's getting stressful.
Yeah.
We see Five manages to find Vanya, but she He's like,
they're just driving past in a couple of beautiful old cars on a country road. It's a nice shot.
So he tries to convince her to come away, but it's trickier with Vanya because she doesn't have any recollection or connection to the future that they're going to, and has all the connection with the family that she's living with. So she doesn't want to leave Sissy and Harlan behind. He refuses to bring them along with them, and Vanya sort of puts her foot down, and there's this tense moment where he's...
Yeah, they're both powering up.
Yeah.
He's got the glowing fists, and she's got the glowing chest or heart or whatever.
Yeah.
And eyes.
I don't know who would win in that confrontation, but she backs down.
You assume it's Vanya, but Vanya might not be aware of that yet.
Yeah. She obviously...
Based on season one, it's Vanya. She can take him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Because Five's power is to zap around a bit.
Yeah, but she could blow...
she could blow up the moon or something.
A-bomb, yeah. H-bomb.
Anyway, so but it doesn't come to that.
Things,
A-bomb, H-bomb.
Atom bomb and a...
Atomic bomb and a...
Atomic bomb.
Hydrogen?
Anyway. It's funny, it felt like we'd slipped out of sync there, but we're in the same room.
Yeah.
Sorry, this Zoom call has just gone out of sync.
She backs down, she's like, all right, but I need to say some goodbyes first. So then she goes off and you're like, this isn't going to happen.
All these things, I'm like, this all sucks.
It's not going well.
Forget your goodbyes.
Yeah. We see Diego does go to find Lila. I guess.
What does she find?
She finds him.
He goes to bury the body of Elliot.
Yeah, he's digging a grave, and she finds
him. Also, it's like, just leave it. Someone will do that.
Yeah.
But I guess Elliot was so helpful to them, so it's out of respect and stuff.
Exactly. He's trying to do sort of the honourable, respectful thing for this guy. That
in real life, nice. I'd be like, yes, fair enough.
Yeah.
Because watching a show, I'm like, man, I don't know if you have time for this.
Yeah. And then, Lila rocks up and he confronts her about lying about things. She sort of comes clean to a degree. She's like, she doesn't specifically say that she is working for the commission or whatever. She's like, but I guess the jig is up sort of is the vibe.
Yeah.
And she seems fairly genuine at this point.
Yeah. And she's sort of been slipping towards that way about Diego for a while.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, there's nothing bad going on here. She offers him a swig of her drink, but it knocks him out immediately.
And then she spits out because it looked like she was drinking it, but she was holding it in her mouth. She spits it out, showing, oh, it was drugged in some way.
Yes.
So
again, another thing where you're like, this isn't, I don't think they're going to make this deadline.
Yeah. I'm like, well, he's definitely not making the deadline now.
We see Allison telling Ray that she's leaving. She's like, oh, this feels like a longer conversation than...
It's your husband.
Yeah. She's got 23 minutes, she says.
That includes travel time.
Yeah. she offers to make him forget about it, if she could do with her rumor power.
This is another nice moment. He says, no, I don't want to do that. I'd prefer the heartache than to not know. And a year with you be like a lifetime with anyone else.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Something like that.
Maybe because she's got superpowers that leaves an impression on you.
Yeah. Not enough to want to go with him, but sort of explain it because he's doing important work that he doesn't want to leave it behind. He's
like, this is my time. It's bigger than him and stuff. Yeah. And she sort of...
She's like, well, there's still work to be done in the future. And he's like, wasn't this work done now? Didn't this have an impact on the future?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, that's right.
You're right. All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So there's a knock at the door, and it's the Swedes.
Selling a vacuum.
Show up, yeah, they're vacuum cleaner salesmen. I don't know who they're not delivering milk. I don't know what the point is of this.
I forget who knows who. So I was kind of expecting her to go to fight straight away.
Oh right,
but she didn't know who they were. And one of them gives her a chop in the throat straight away. So they obviously either got lucky or knew her power was talking, because she was winded. She
her
couldn't
talk.
Her
power was talking.
Yeah. Talking a specific line.
Yes.
Which she is able to utter soon after. She's desperately trying to get her breath. She finds an attachment for one of the vacuum cleaner that they were pretending to sell to her, and jabs it into one of the Swede's eyes.
Yeah.
Which takes him out. The other guys.
I'm trying to work out why the Swedes are there. Last time we saw them, they were torturing Elliot. Are we assuming that Elliot gave up her location, or why do they know who she is and why she's involved in anything?
Right.
Well, would they know her power?
They are still working for the commission.
Yeah.
We assume.
But as far as they know, their mission is still to take care of Diego.
Right.
Because of the memo that they got that they thought was from
because they think
that he killed their brother. So that still is, except unless maybe the Elliot thing was the eye for an eye, they're like, we're even on the brother thing.
Right. Now we're moving on to another thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know why they rock up.
Or maybe we'll find that out later, that the handler got them to do that. She didn't really want him to go.
I don't know. Let us know if we've missed something on that one. But yes, they hit Allison in the throat. She gets one of them in the eye with the vacuum attachment.
The little one that I guess is for vacuuming like cracks or something.
Yeah, I guess so. The sharper of the
The sharpest one. If you're trying to picture it, it's a sharpish one.
Man, got them with their own vacuum cleaner.
I mean, if they didn't bring props, they might have survived.
Yeah. Imagine if they were delivering milk in glass bottles. That would have been ugly too.
Yeah. I gave her enough time to catch her breath and to rumour the other Swedish brother and say, I heard a rumour, you killed your brother.
Yeah. And she was right. He goes and does it.
Yeah, the rumour was true.
which I thought, proving once and for all that they are brothers. I think we were a bit sceptical about that.
Well, that's the other thing, right? If she didn't know him, she just assumed they're brothers.
She has just assumed that, yeah.
I thought, what a gamble. He walks out the door, catches a plane back to Sweden.
Yeah, I thought that was that risk. Or maybe he's an only child and just does nothing.
Like, I don't know what to do with this.
What happens if you give them an impossible or like illogical
His
task?
Head explodes.
Yeah, it's like, why do you? All right, don't know what to do with that information.
I heard a rumor. You told me what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
He strangles his brother to death and then he sort of snaps
and
like...
And leaves.
Yeah, well, he's pretty shocked by killing his own brother. They obviously have quite a bond.
Yeah.
They were pretty upset when their other brother died.
He had to leave to quickly make, another floating bonfire.
I guess so.
Had to get supplies.
Anyway, he runs off. Or maybe he feels like he's not prepared for... You'd be pretty freaked out by that. Obviously, she has a power.
I wonder how much of it do you even know has happened?
Yeah.
Is he seeing himself kill him, going, I don't want to be doing this?
Yeah, I feel like he'd be conscious of that. But I wonder if he realizes that he's done it because she told him to, or if he's done it and now he feels guilty because, like, what have I done? Like, what? You know, how did this happen? What have I,
I was kind of thinking that they just black out when...
Yeah, right.
And then come to and like, what just happened? Where am I? But it's not like...
I don't think... They seem to be conscious. Like, Pouring the coffee is like he's, you know, conscious for that at least.
That's true. Remember last week when Raymond asked, have you ever used it on me? Would I even know if you did? And she, he would have known, you'd think she would have quickly gone, no, you'd remember if I did.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So you kind of assume that they
because she just says no, be unaware. Right?
She doesn't say anything. She just stands awkwardly. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, right.
Say something. Well, though, that didn't hurt their relationship. They seem to be more in love than ever since then.
Yeah, maybe she heard a rumor about that.
Oh.
So
have we talked about... So we see the handler put AJ the fish in her desk? It's yeah, like, okay, oh, yeah, this I is going to come back.
Yeah, I think we...
Why? You're killing... He's your enemy. You're sort of you holding him there to gloat.
Yeah.
But we all know in a show like this, this is only going to come back around. He's going to somehow foil you somewhere, right? Otherwise, why would they...
He's just a fish.
That's true. It would be hard.
What can he do? So...
He might tell one of their other workers, hey, I'm in here.
Yeah, no, that's true. It could come back to bite her. We skipped over. So Vanya, we see her get back to the house. So she's gone to ostensibly say goodbye to Sissy and Harlan and Carl. But instead, she says, "We have to go now."
Yeah. And we're not sure if that's her leaving to come for the time.
To go to
the country and escape everyone.
Yeah, I assumed it was to get away, but it could equally have been to get to that alleyway to get to the future. Even though Five made it pretty clear that they wouldn't be coming along, but I guess you know if they made it to that with a minute remaining, it would be hard to have an argument about that. I guess.
Yeah.
And also I guess Carl is out at this point as well. So I guess they, either way, they're wanting to escape him as well. Sissy runs in to grab a stash of cash that she's got.
She says, I got to leave a note. I got to talk to him. She's like, no, we don't have any time. We got to go now. Don't leave a note. We got to go.
Yeah.
She runs back in to get the cash. And I was thinking at that point that they were going to the future. So I'm like, well, this cash is going to depreciate in value. You really would be better off depositing that in a bank and then cashing it out in 2019.
Yes, that would have made a lot of sense.
A lot of dollars. but maybe that shows that they were just going to run in the 60s rather than go back. Otherwise, why would she be going, I better bring a tin of cash. We're about to go to 2019.
Yeah. Maybe she just didn't want Carl to find it and have money.
Oh, yeah. Asshole, Carl. Real piece of shit.
We see...
go.
We
put my hoof in my mouth.
We see Ben in Klaus's body again, seeing off the cult. And leaving Kiji, as we were saying earlier with... Oh, were we saying earlier?
No, that was
off pod.
Yeah.
As he's sort of saying goodbye to Kichi, I guess he's...
You don't only remember the main characters' names. You remember cult members' names.
I just have notes. So that's why I remember. Otherwise, I definitely wouldn't remember. Or at least wouldn't be remembering with such confidence. I'd be like, I think his name was...
Kichi's a great name.
Conchman.
I'm hearing it for the first time, seemingly. Kichi. Love it.
Yeah, he's definitely... That name's come up before. He's a minor character. Anyway, so Bennett, I guess, has disbanded the cult to a degree, maybe, or at least has told him that he's leaving. And Kichi's sort of like running off, and Kichi's following him, and he's like, any final words, any final words of wisdom I can pass on or whatever? And he just spouts some of the lyrics to Backstreet's Back.
Yeah, the opening lyrics, which took a while.
I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is sounding very vaguely familiar. Interesting that was front of mind for... Ben.
Yeah, a song from, what, 20 years earlier in their timeline.
Yeah, I guess maybe around the time Ben died. But
yeah, maybe that was...
Maybe he's not keeping up with modern music.
Yeah.
Now that he's dead.
That makes sense, I suppose. It might just be a favourite song of his.
He's got a lot of time.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it cuts into like a bit of a montage, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, this is where we see, we actually see the Swedes attack it. That whole fight scene between the Swedes and Allison and Raymond, that all happens to the tune of Backstreet's Back right. by the Backstreet Boys.
All right.
So that all happens there. So we also see and we see that Klaus and Ben. So what I was thinking was going to happen was that Klaus was going to fight back into his body, and they weren't going to get to the alleyway because of something there. But actually, Ben's managed to stay in Klaus's body, and they actually make it to the alleyway. Even though you can see they're sort of wrestling with each other, they do make it to the alleyway on time.
So four of the seven actually get there.
Yeah, so Five and Luther are there waiting. They're the first ones there. And Klaus and Ben, even though they think it's Klaus. Yeah. They're like, oh, if you made it.
Yeah, because Diego's
of all people sort of thing. With only 8 minutes to spare.
Yes.
So
Diego has been drugged. Vanya is with Sissy.
Yeah.
And
Allison.
Allison's in a fight with the Swedes.
Yeah. So as we know, Allison wins that fight.
But not in time.
Yeah, we don't see. Not in time. We don't see what happens after that.
We find Diego coming to in Chelsea Handler's office when
something we missed before. There was a scene earlier where the handler is in the office, like in her office that she's decided for herself is her office, is the leader of the commission now. She offers to Lila that she could be the head of security for the commission. And Lila accepts that post, but says on the condition that she can run it the way she wants to run it.
Oh, right. So maybe Diego is her first hire.
Yeah, I think the implication here is she's brought Diego to the handler to go, I'm going to run it with Diego. Her drugging Diego obviously was...
It was a love drugging.
Yeah, it was sort of like it was hostile in a way. We thought that she was turning on Diego to take him out or something, right? I thought she was going to bury him there in the grave.
Yeah, that's
that
what it looked like
himself.
For a second, but it didn't make sense to me because I'm like, I think she loves him.
Yeah, yeah. But so she's apparently brought him on board.
This conversation, which it cuts before Chelsea Grammer Handler, is able to respond, because that's going to tell us a lot whether or not she actually wanted them to use the briefcase and time travel, if it was going to the sun or 2019. Like, if she goes, he should be burning up in the sun right now, then we'll know that.
Then we'll know that's what...
That was her plan. Or if she goes, I really wanted them out of here and back in the 2019 timeline.
Yeah.
We don't see. So I guess we'll find out that on the next episode. Allison, I guess she's just hasn't quite made it in time.
Yeah, we don't see what happens to her after the fight. So the Swede that kills his brother, he just runs off.
Hmm.
I guess maybe Allison would be delayed a bit there to look after Ray to make sure he's okay, because he copped a bit of...
But it was also like she had 23 minutes to get downtown. She was battling to get there anyway.
I don't really have a sense of
how far out of town she lives. But she's in a suburb of Dallas.
Yeah. She maybe has a car.
Yeah.
Or Ray has a car, maybe.
It's true. Traffic maybe wasn't so bad back then. I don't know.
I guess.
Dallas traffic these days.
I feel like she...
Don't get me started.
I thought maybe she potentially could have made it, but it's definitely tight.
But then finally,
we see Vanya is on the road with Sissy and Harlan, and they approach a roadblock.
Yeah, the two cop cars, siren, at least lights on.
Yeah.
And Vanya's like, it's all right, just stay calm, I think. But Sissy says, I left a note. I was like, oh, fucking hell, Sissy.
Yeah. But I mean, they've acted on this note pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Carl wasn't home when they left.
No, I know. That feels very, very quickly.
Yeah, it feels like a time frame of maybe like 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes.
It doesn't make sense, really. But he must have got home soon after. He made it sound like he was going to be drinking all day. Kind of assume he would be out until the next morning or something. But
She left a note. And we see this. Oh, so before that scene sort of continues, we see that the time limit, that 90-minute time limit passes, and that the briefcase does its thing. And
Five chucks it and it just sort of
disappears.
Zips through a wormhole in the sky.
Yeah, so that's fairly depressing. Five is a bit, you know, disappointed by that.
Yeah.
But it was always going to happen, really, watching this episode. Like, they were never going to... I guess the question I was wondering was, are some of them going to go?
Yeah,
some
that's what I was aren't. Wondering as
will
well.
Will they be split across time? But no, none of them got in or whatever.
They basically
decided
it was all in or none in.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Nice family sticking together sort of a thing. I guess it also was fairly, maybe a bit ambiguous as to what, like, so then if they didn't, if some of them stayed in that timeline, would they have continued and the apocalypse would have happened and
right.
would they have died or something? Yeah, like, yeah. It's unclear exactly how that would have played out. Anyway, moot point now. That whole thing has disappeared. And then we cut back to Vanya, Sissy, and Harlan in the car, and the police approach Vanya in the driver's seat. They're like, get out of the car. And then Sissy's like, she knows who the cop is.
It's her brother-in-law.
It's her brother-in-law, Carl's brother, Jerry. Such a Jerry.
Such a Jerry.
Ugh, Jerry. Yeah. And Vanya's like, I don't want to get out of the car. And then Jerry's like, no, get out of the car. And Vanya sort of threatens a bit.
Well, she says, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, little lady. Well, he cocks his gun or something. And he
yeah.
goes, I don't think you're going to hurt me. And then she hurts him.
She does, yeah. And she.
But she's like knocking a few of them down. She's showing her powers, I guess, for the first time in front of Sissy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And then she makes eye contact with Sissy sort of in the middle of the fight.
Well, she's knocked them all down. I guess she thinks that they're down for a moment.
For the count?
No, I mean, just for a moment, maybe.
Yeah,
but
they
no.
weren't. They weren't down for the moment. So no. She took her eyes off the prize and got, what do you call it when they hit you with the back of the gun?
Knocked out. I don't know.
Feels like there's a word for that.
Gun butted.
But yeah, gun butted. That's the term. Got gun butted.
Yeah.
And she was knocked out. And that was. Is that the end of the episode?
That was the end of the episode.
That was the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I found it more stressful than
it was stressful, and it was, and a bit of a frustrating end as well.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all this came to nothing.
Yeah,
like,
it did feel all a bit pointless, and it kind of felt like it was always going to be a bit pointless. I guess we learned stuff, and
we did learn stuff. Yeah,
Diego's now in there at the commission. Like, things have happened.
Yeah,
but I don't know. That wasn't my favorite episode.
Feels like a bit of a dead end for them, unless Diego, you know, tries to make a bargain and stuff. You know, there's some potential pathways through to where they want to get to, I guess. But I mean, at the moment, for everyone except Diego, they're all just stuck in the 60s now with, it seems like, no real way to jump to the future. I guess they just focus back on how to stop the impending apocalypse, which is still something they've got to deal with.
Yes.
But yeah, and they don't have Diego now.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, we did have the whole probably the biggest part of it was Ben being able to inhabit Klaus's body.
Yeah,
wonder if he's gonna be able to do that for more people, or is that part of Klaus's?
Oh yeah,
I guess that's probably part of Klaus's skill set.
Yeah, that he can be possessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, no one else knows that he can do that at this stage because Diego is out of the picture for the moment.
Yeah, that was frustrating. What did you think of how he ended up expelling Ben in like quite a powerful spew?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, spewed up quite a lot of gunk.
Which was sort of like a nod to The Exorcist and stuff.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was like, old school.
Projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
Which I guess to the others would have just looked like he was projectile vomiting. Like, whereas to us, we could see that it was sort of vomiting out Ben along with whatever
so much
stuff was.
Sludge.
Ugh.
Like, oh, yeah, so much stuff.
Looked pretty unpleasant. I'd say Klaus is unlikely to want to keep doing that.
No. Well, especially unless Ben agrees to a time limit or something.
Yeah. I wonder if... Yeah, I guess Klaus managed to fight his way back unless Ben...
Yeah, I think that was him. I assume that was him fighting. That was Klaus's work.
Or maybe a bit of both.
Yeah.
Ben's because, like, well, we got to where had to get to.
Yeah, that's true. He held on for so long. Because he was basically holding him hostage at that point. Holding his body hostage. So it's a butt stroke.
Oh, okay. I've not heard that term before.
I hadn't either. I thought I was going to be more familiar with it. A butt stroke or butt stroking is the act of striking someone with the butt stock of a rifle, shotgun, or similar long gun.
Yeah. Also what you call stroking someone's butt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when it gets confusing.
If someone says, context is important.
You want a butt stroke? And you're going to have to ask another question. I got a couple of follow-ups before I commit either way to this.
Sounds nice, but...
I mean, at certain times you might be able to offer a straight out no, depending on the person. But often you might be like, "Look, I'm gonna have to get you to be more specific, please."
It depends.
All right. Well, do you want to go through some messages we've got from listeners here?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, if you want to send it through a message, you can do that via a link in the show notes. It can be about whatever you like, primates. Or Umbrella Academy would be the obvious two things. But if it could be about anything at all, and sometimes it is. This one here is from James, and James is in Brisbane. He wrote this a couple of weeks back, so let's see how relevant it is to us now. Oh, do you remember, I was trying to figure out where I'd heard the scorpion and the frog fable.
Yeah.
It looks like that's what this is about. James writes, "Hey, Evan, and the other one."
Brutal.
Matt was up. Well, he goes on the very next sentence. He remembers my name again. "Hey, Evan, and the other one. Matt was asking about where he specifically heard the scorpion and the frog story recently, and assuming 10,000 people haven't already replied." They haven't, or at least they hadn't at this point. From context, I'd say it was in Afterlife. Yes, that's where it would have been. Ricky Gervais' Netflix show.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
He says, that's why you wouldn't have been able to help me at the time. he says, "I know this because I heard the fable three times in the span of a month and actually made a montage of all the times I've seen it. I'll leave the link, but I can't imagine you guys watching it on the pod is any better content than the video itself." I'll put it in the show notes for people interested.
Yeah, that's fun.
"Anyway, Umbrella Academy Season 2 dropped like a week and a half later, and while Klaus undoubtedly spins the most entertaining version of the story, I was banging my head against the wall because I'd heard it thousands of times while editing the video. Anyway, still loving Primates and keep up the pod work." Thank you so much, James. That's very helpful. Yeah. It was killing me. I could not find it online from Google searches.
Yeah, you found a list and it wasn't on there, I guess.
It wasn't on that list, no.
Well,
so
better go in and at it then.
But yeah, it's funny. I'd never heard it before, and I guess like James just started hearing it all the time, or at least in this little short period. Thank you, James from Brisbane. Hope you're going well up there. I'm looking forward to getting back up to Brisbane. I love that city.
We're locked out though, aren't we?
The last gig I've performed stand up was in Brisbane in March.
Oh wow!
Got one booked for next week. So, absolutely shitting myself. And with excitement and trepidation.
Where are you gigging?
Next week at Voltaire, and then also got one at the new Comedy Republic.
Oh, yeah, Comedy Republic. Yeah, they're doing a whole string of gigs.
Yes, if anyone's in Melbourne and looking to come to see some comedy, they're all limited tickets now because of...
it's hard to...
So get tickets to both of those. Voltaire will be pretty low-key, and Comedy Republic will be... I mean, they'll both be low-key, but Comedy Republic, I assume, will have famous people on.
Yeah, I really want to check out Comedy Republic.
Yeah.
It opened just as lockdown was sort of... It was just bad timing, or unlucky, I guess. But yeah, that's run by Reese Nicholson and his partner Kyron Wheatley and Alex Dyson. who also run Bob Bar together in the city.
Yes. Their timing's just been really unlucky. They were really starting up. It was going to kick off a comedy festival.
Yeah.
And, so it's so great that they've been able to hold on and...
Yeah.
Have a crack at it.
I think they're doing some streaming stuff as well, potentially. I know they were looking into that stuff.
Yeah.
So do go check them out and support them if you can.
Let me look up their website. comedyrepublic.com.au. So if you're keen to go out and see some comedy, that'd be a great place to do it. Just looking through, it's all, you know, all big names from TV and stuff on every show. My show, I'm doing it with Ben Russell, Grace Jarvis, and Josh Earle.
Oh, wow. That's great.
All previous guests of this show.
Yeah.
And obviously Ben Russell's your second banana or third banana on Game Again.
I haven't ranked them, but equal second maybe.
Equal second banana.
Do you know if that's going to be streamed or anything? Or is that just an in-person?
I am not sure. I'm assuming in-person, but I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But if you're in Melbourne, that is on the 5th of December, 7 p.m. That'd be fun. You go to comedyrepublic.com and click on what's on. But yeah, every week from next week, it looks like they've got big lineups on 3-4. Yeah, it looks like most nights even.
Hmm.
Cool. Do it. I forget how we got there, but I was saying Brisbane I like as a city. This message comes from Peter Y from Pittman in New Jersey. And Peter writes, in the last episode, when was this? So this is probably a couple episodes back. In the last episode, you said they're all the same age. Oh, this might be a little actually, which I always enjoy.
Oh,
actually, he doesn't say it specifically, but this is it's an helpful actually.
Yeah.
As of this season, they aren't all the same age. They all come back in different years and months when they time traveled.
Of course.
So despite being born on the exact same day, the Umbrella Academy siblings are now different ages. I guess 5 already was quite a lot older.
Yeah.
And now, they're all spanning, from between one and two, three years difference. Oh, yeah, good point. It's funny. I did not connect that at all.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either.
Time travel throws up so many fun things. Thank you very much, Peter Y from Pittman, New Jersey. Say hi to the boss for me.
Is that Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah, right.
He probably still lives there. This one comes from Elijah in Sydney, Australia. Hey, say hi to... is someone from Sydney? Paul Hogan for me. He painted the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Why can't I think of anyone from Sydney?
Tim Minchin lives there.
Say hi to Tim Minchin for us.
He's not from there, but...
Okay. Well, that's close enough. I mean, he's there. That'll do.
Yeah.
Elijah writes, it feels like there should be famously Sydney people. Why don't they have... Anyway,
they probably are.
Yeah, they probably are. I'll think of someone before we finish the episode. Hey, I hope you're both well. I'm enjoying season 1 and 2 recaps. It's nice to have other people's thoughts after each episode. Anyways, thought I would just pop in with my interpretation of why Klaus hides Ben. Sorry if this is too long. Feel free to skim.
Yeah, I don't have a theory on this.
No, yeah. To me, it feels like it's a story reasons. It's like, so you could have a moment like today when Diego was like, holy shit, you're here?
Yeah. I feel there must be, I assume there's some history that we're not aware of.
Right. Anyway, let's find out. Elijah's probably got a better idea of this anyway.
Yeah.
Klaus having a past as a drug addict and a general eccentric character makes him pretty unreliable to his siblings. And since him being high in general means he's depowered, the family typically doesn't believe he is able to see or interact with Ben. Seen in the bowling scene in season 1, where Klaus tried to show that he was able to summon Ben and failing, it makes sense why the other Hargreaves siblings would not believe Klaus and see it as another eccentric tale or Klaus ramble. Feel a little bad for Klaus. Must be pretty stressful to come back from 10 months at war, discover new abilities, and have the only other people who might believe him chalk it up to him being high or just Klaus. So in my view, I think that dismissal of his ability to interact with Ben because Klaus in season one is maybe why he hides it in season two. Yeah, I think right. It's just second nature Klaus having relapsed may have been avoiding a repeat of that judgment. If you read this, thanks. Hey, Elijah, no worries. I had to shorten it about three times. I love Klaus as a character, and I think it's really interesting how the family's different responses to the trauma of Sir Reggie's very bad parenting often end up making them make choices that work against them. Hey, thank you for that message, Elijah. You didn't have to shorten it three times. It wasn't even that long. We've definitely had longer, I reckon.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's almost out of spite for the others in that case.
Yeah, or just it's like you wouldn't believe me anyway.
What's the point?
Yeah, of... yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's interesting. He never even tried. Because if that was the case, maybe they could have got him just to say it once and then not believe him, and then he'd be like, "Ah, oh, fuck it, I'm not trying again."
Yeah.
Yeah, but that does make sense that it is just a, yeah, just a protection thing of him, of his own head. Thank you, Elijah. This one comes from Stephen J from VA, which I reckon is Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be a country, VA. What's a country that starts with V?
Venezuela.
Venezuela. Could be Venezuela.
What about Vancouver?
Could be Vancouver.
I don't think it's Vancouver.
I don't think it's Vancouver, though. I reckon if from someone from Vancouver would write Vancouver. But then again, I would have thought someone from Virginia would have written Virginia. Or at least VA, USA. I don't know what VA means out by itself. It could be anything. Maybe there's a place called VA. It could be a place called just VA.
Could be from Veterans Affairs.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Are we under audit? An audit? Well, let's find out. Maybe there's more context in the message.
Yeah.
Stephen writes, "Hey, guys, Ben in the garden." So this is specific to this week's episode. "Ben in the garden made me think this would have made a good crossover episode of getting fruity with Matt and the boys." Did he make the right choice of first thing to eat after all those years? Personally, I would have gone with pizza. Yeah. Well, I guess we sort of kind of brushed on that earlier. Was the orange the right choice? Maybe too full on of a flavor to get straight into.
Yeah. I mean, it was just there, I guess.
Yeah. Because isn't there a thing like if you've been starved or you know, you're lost in the wilderness for a long time and you have your body's not used to food, processing food, you're not smart to eat a lot straight away.
Oh, right.
I think people can die from that.
Oh.
I think maybe that happened after, like, for some prisoners of war before they figured it out, maybe.
Yeah, right.
So... yeah, what you just want to go on maybe the Blatt diet, where
bacon, lettuce, avocado.
No, yeah, tomato. That's the Blatt sandwich.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, what am I thinking of? There's a diet that you're meant to eat when you're sick, to not upset your stomach.
Bacon, lettuce.
I don't think it's bacon. I think it's banana.
Okay.
I think it's brat. Banana, rice,
apple,
and toast.
Oh, okay.
But apple seems acidic. Maybe it is apple.
Could be avocados.
Could be avocado.
I mean, they're good. Like, they're good for you, right? And they're pretty...
good fats.
Yep.
Gotta remember, that's good fat.
And they're useful.
Yeah.
You can use them for so many different things. I made brownies with avocados once.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the idea of that.
Yeah,
I feel like it's two good things.
Beck didn't like the idea of that either, but... if you don't think about the avocados in there.
Beck, your girlfriend. Okay. Don't just drop in Beck like everyone knows who Beck is.
My partner, Beck.
I mean, most people know who Beck is, but maybe there's someone who's listening who doesn't.
I love the idea of avocados in brownies. I thought it was great.
Right. Well, I would love to have avocado on toast and then a brownie without avocado in it, if that's okay.
You could also do that. And with the Brat diet. If the B is for brownies.
Yes, okay. B is for brownies.
A is for avocado. T is for toast. You got all those three things sorted.
And then, what could I have something else?
Rice bubbles.
Rubber flavin.
What?
Rice bubbles, yep. Ribena berries.
Oh, yeah?
This one says it's season 1, episode 7, but it came in this week, so I'm wondering if it might actually be season 2. Let's find out. It's from Marcus Agnelli. This will be the last one we do today. And he... Oh, I love you, Marcus, because I believe, unless there's a lot of dashes in where he's from, I think he's spelt it phonetically for me.
Oh.
Petawawa, Ontario.
Okay.
And I love that as a place name anyway. In Canada, Marcus writes, hello. I don't want to correct people's spelling as I'm reading out their thing. Oh. So often it sounds like I'm fumbling, and that's me taking it for the team, because often there's spelling mistakes or they've left out a word or something.
I had no idea.
I sound silly.
I just thought it was you being silly.
But I just don't want to put it onto our listeners. But yeah, that one was harder to cover.
You're blaming that one on Marcus, are you?
Well, only because it was right off the bat. Otherwise, you know, I'm assuming that's hello, Matt Nevin, but maybe it is hell, Matt Nevin. Did you notice the candy bar to the left of the one that Five tries to get out of the vending machine?
No.
It is called Pogo Go-Go's.
Oh, that's fun.
I didn't notice that. That is fun. So
I thought there was no reference to Pogo in the episode at all, but there was.
There was. There was quite a big one, and you were foolish to miss it. With the slogan, take flight with Pogo Go-Go's. I like to assume that the little space chimp, Pogo, became a celebrity of some kind and had a candy bar named after him.
That's fun, yeah.
He says, Matt, can you ask Jess if this is a fun fact? Jess on another podcast I do called Do Go On would normally judge whether facts are fun or not, but no one listening who knows Jess, tell her about this. But in the Monkey House, Evan and I are the first, we're the last, we are the only authority on what is fun.
Okay.
And what are facts? And I'm willing to call that a fun fact. Evan, are you going to agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that.
That's a fun fact, yeah. Marcus.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Jess doesn't. Jess's opinion, unless she's on the episode, it doesn't count when it comes to Pogo-related fun facts. Marcus goes on, as for Sir Reginald Hargreaves, and the numbering of his children, I always believed that the numbering was the order in which he procured them and nothing more. He probably told the children the order was based on usefulness to motivate them and pit them against each other. Also, I think it's clear that your next episode should be called Getting Bingy with the Boys, where Matt and Evan do an episode-by-episode review / breakdown of the Amazon series, The Boys.
Ah.
Keep up the great work, and as always, space chimps forever. I really like The Boys. I just finished watching season 2.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
I really like it. Yeah, I guess in a way it's like a more fucked up version of this. In a way, it's just another different take on the superhero genre.
Are they superheroes but they're bad? Is that the
sort of? But well, they're kind of like superheroes, but they're Hollywood superstars.
Right.
And, you know, they're really. Maybe it's slightly more realistic of how
it's
it would be.
More cynical sort of idea. Yeah, okay.
For the boys fans out there, sorry I didn't explain that very well. But there are two boys cameos in Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun.
Oh, yeah.
I spotted the first one because it's very blatant because he's like he's right there. But the guy who's like the Superman guy in The Boys, he's sort of, you know, the Clark Kent, but he doesn't have an alter ego. He's just always in his American flag superhero suit.
Yeah, right.
His character's called Homelander. But then the human guy, kind of the main character in some ways, Dennis Quaid's son, I think, Jack Quaid. He was also in one of the sketches in the NBA old-timey sketch.
Oh, yeah. I did see something about that on
Twitter. With a fake mustache and stuff, grainy footage
shot like
from
afar.
Could have been anyone. Well, I love that he was involved. I'm guessing he's a fan and that's how that happened, maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you so much, Marcus, for that message. Please do keep the messages coming in. It's probably my favourite part of the episode is going through the messages at the end.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from you guys.
So get involved. There looks like, I'm just looking at next week. There's only one message so far relating to episode 8. So if you do have any thoughts on the next episode, get them in before Thursday Melbourne time and we'll read them out, because we record these episodes basically an hour or two before it goes out.
Yeah.
It's basically live as far as podcasting goes.
It's no editing.
So people should see, did we mention this at the start of the episode? Gamey Game is back for a one-off special.
Yes, we did mention that.
So people just go straight to, hopefully you're already subscribed to the Stupid Old Channel.
Yep.
Which is, there's a bunch of my stuff on there as well.
Yeah.
But if you're not, do it now. And yeah, watch the new Gamey Game episode. Even if you don't care about gaming, you'll still enjoy it. My sister is right into it and she could not give a shit about gaming.
That's nice.
She just thinks it's really funny. And she started watching all your Twitches.
Oh,
and nice. Like your broader community of Twitches, Bex and Marks and everyone. So,
Gee, Mark is going off on Twitch.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's doing real good.
Oh.
He just keeps doing streaming with T-Pain.
T-Pain?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Streaming with T-Pain?
Yeah.
That's a fun thing
to say.
No one
would have thought
T-Pain
that would happen.
Bloody hell. That was, T-Pain.
Yeah, the T-Pain.
There you go. That's fun.
You know who commented on his Instagram yesterday?
T-Pain?
No.
Homelander.
No, Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah. Commented on a photo of
Remind
Mark with his dad.
Doogie Howser?
Yeah, Doogie Howser.
Holy shit.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, he's, he's a superstar. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Name checked in Jude Pearl's comedy show we streamed recently.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris.
That's wild.
NPH. They're
how fun.
They've hit the big time. It's amazing.
Yeah, which is, it's funny because, like, I think you and I and probably a lot of people in the Melbourne scene knew this was inevitable, that they were going to be, even before the Netflix thing, it was like, eventually someone's going to be smart enough to put this on their streaming service or something.
Yeah. I mean, we already kind of felt like they'd hit the big time. In that they have been very popular. Doing big shows.
But
like,
I thought they were
going to
have a breakthrough to another level. They felt like there was more big breakthroughs to come.
Yeah.
And is it embarrassing for the Australian TV industry that they didn't do it themselves? I think there should be people in Australia who feel a bit silly about their first full TV show being made by an international company.
Yeah. I think especially because they did have, there were so many clear opportunities, like they were actively passed on.
Yeah.
And that, which is a bit, it's a bit disappointing.
It boggles the mind.
Not only did they not actively pursue them when they were clearly doing very well on YouTube, doing stuff online and doing live touring and gigs on the Comedy Festival Gala and all this sort of stuff, they clearly were, on a great trajectory and nobody actively pursued that.
I guess, apart from Screen Australia did work with them a bit, but just not a network or a...
No one really...
Not one of the, ABC or one of the commercial networks.
No one gave them a show.
Yeah, it's funny. It just feels... It was baffling. It had been baffling to me for a while, but in the end, that's Netflix's gain.
Yeah, and it's the best thing that could have happened for them as well.
Yeah,
because
it goes into homes around the world straight away.
It's almost like if ABC had given them a series and they sort of temporarily dropped their ambitions internationally to pursue a local show, it wouldn't have been as big as, or definitely wouldn't have been as big as.
But not
it
necessarily.
Is.
It might have just meant that ABC would have a show sold around the world, kind of like Ronnie Chang's.
Yeah,
show.
Maybe that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, this is we're fair way off our brief now, aren't we?
Hey, look.
Luckily, I don't edit the episode.
Honeyed on are humans, and they are therefore primates.
And, Mark was a guest on this show at some point. I can't remember if the other guys have been.
I don't know.
The other two have definitely been a guest on Do Go On, though. I know that. You should listen to last week's Do Go On with Zach from Arnie Donna. You, Evan, and also the listeners. He told us about the California Adventure Park, a Disney theme park that I'd never heard of.
California Adventure?
Yeah.
I went there.
Yeah, well, there you go. Did you do the sourdough tour?
No.
There's a tour in there that's just, it takes 20 minutes. and they go through the process of making sourdough because it was a Californian invention. And it's one of the guys from whose line is it anyway? The American one.
Okay.
And
Ryan Stiles? Colin Mockery. Drew.
Colin Mockery, I reckon.
Yeah. Greg Proops.
I think it was Colin Mockery.
Drew Carey.
I think it was Colin Mockery.
Wayne Brady.
Pretty sure it was Colin Mockery and Rosie O'Donnell. Okay. And they're on screen taking you through the process.
Okay.
I'm going to do a reaction video of someone's filmed the whole thing. And I'm going to do a reaction video of that.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, amazing. Did you do the celebrity limo ride?
No, I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Because this is all in the episode, but Zach was saying initially it was going to be a fast ride, but then Diana got killed in a limo chase. So they turned into a real slow limo ride.
Yeah, people getting papped.
Yeah, people getting papped as well. Okay, I see.
Because you're in a car and there's like the pepper, I'm not
connecting this to Diana dying, but maybe.
Yeah, no, I think you're in a car and there's like photographers and you're like, Chasing, you're a celebrity. Yeah, and you're getting, I think it was like a dodge the paparazzi almost sort of a situation.
And that if that came out now, that might be okay, but it probably came out too close to.
Yeah.
Too close to the bone.
My partner, Beck, if you're not familiar, she loves all the Disney stuff. And she, there's been a few videos that I've just watched because she's had them on about California Adventure and the other parks.
All right.
Stuff. Yeah, really, really interesting.
Well, tell her to listen to last week's episode of Do Go On.
Yeah. I think she's had, there's definitely been conversations in the hallway here at Stupid Old with Zach because he loves all that stuff.
He loves Disney parks. Well, he loves theme parks in general.
Beck and Zach share a love for all the Disney stuff.
and probably Beck's too now that I know she's a big fan, their love of it, I feel like it's contagious.
Yeah.
Passionate people about stuff, especially frivolous stuff like that, I find very contagious. So now all of a sudden on my bucket list is to go to some of these Disney parks.
Yeah. Well, California Adventure was pretty amazing.
Yeah, right. And it's meant to be one of the shit ones.
Yeah, well, it definitely was. What? It was. I think it was a flop when it started.
Well, because it's a theme park about California in California. And I think some people were like, but we're already here. Like, we could see the real versions of these just down the road. But I don't know. Yeah. It's turned around, and I want to do the sourdough thing.
It had some good stuff.
Sweet. Hey, Evan.
Yeah.
We'll continue this conversation off the mic.
Yeah. We could keep talking all day.
So thank you so much for joining us. Evan, only 3 episodes left of this season of Umbrella Academy and of Primates before we go on hiapus again, as some of the listeners call it. Yes. Okay, so thanks for joining us, Evan. Everybody watch Gamey Game. And Evan, as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
space chimps forever.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.